I'd like to read in Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll look at verse number 1. The book of Isaiah, then we had our Bibles, chapter 53, and verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You'll notice that's a question. Who has believed our report? And then, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Second question in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, the well-known verse. Gospel of Mark chapter 8. And verse number 36. The words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" A final reading in Matthew's Gospel chapter 27. And we'll read at verse number 46. Or verse number 45. Matthew 27, verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now what we have read tonight concerns these three questions. And I think anybody that is familiar with the Bible will understand that there's many questions in the Bible. And for a lot of those questions, there are answers. There's a king one time that spoke to a prophet, and he said, Is there a word from the Lord? And the man of God came back, and he says, "There is." And it's a wonderful thing when you understand there's a word from God for you. God isn't silent tonight. We can't see Him, but He's speaking to us. In fact, the Bible says He's near to all of us. And our prayer already has been that God's presence will be felt, and that individuals be singled out, and that you might not miss the message, because the problem is that you have missed the message for years now. You've always somehow shifted it to somebody else. You've heard words, but you've never personally heard God's voice to you. We have heard of the first question in the entire Bible. "Adam, where are you?" That man responded, "He says, I'm here." He came out with his fear, with his guilt, with his shame. And I trust there might be somebody here tonight, and you'll face that question, because friend, you're guilty. You've broken God's law. You can't face God squarely. But God is calling you. We could have read in the first question of the New Testament, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" First question of our Bible tells us of God's interest and God's concern and God's search in this world for sinners. He's never varied from that. But the first question of the New Testament, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" came from men that were seeking for the King. And oh, I trust there's somebody in this meeting, you might not say it in words, you've come with that desire, "I would like to know my sins forgiven. I would like to find Christ tonight." a humbling thing to come to that place. I recall sitting in gospel meetings like this. One of the ways that God spoke to me was through the simple testimony meetings that were held in London in the first part of every new year. And as men spoke of how God dealt with them, I hope nobody saw me, but there were tears in my eyes. I said, I would like to have what those men have got. But I was too proud to ask. I was too proud to admit it. But deep within my soul, there was that growing, deepening desire. Oh, if I could only get to see her. Anybody here like that tonight? Where is he? You see, the questions that we have read tonight are different. There's no answers given. We have read of three unanswered questions in the Bible. And friend, they're unanswered not because there are no answers. There are. But these questions that we have read must be personally answered by you. But these questions that we have read must be personally answered by you. Isaiah could write by the inspiration of God, who hath believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's the question concerning the Scriptures. It's the issue concerning the message of the gospel. Did you notice there's no answer there? Because he was writing to a nation that had heard the word of God, and yet who had gone right on their own course. They had rebelled like children to a father. They had been like sheep. They had gone their own way. They were astray from God, despite the fact that God spoke to them. Tonight, the big question in this meeting is, have you believed this report? Because what you do with the report will determine where you'll be forever. God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, and this report is the report concerning the Lord Jesus. Have you believed it? For those that say yes to the word of God, the arm of the Lord is made bare in salvation. For those tonight who have said no to the word of God, you're still in the darkness of your sin. But we have read in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what shall it profit a man? Shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Now, do you have an answer for that? Because you see, friend, this is the question concerning the matter of the soul. And I have to tell you tonight, I don't have an answer for that. What will it profit a person? What will it profit you tonight? If you gain every ambition and every dream and every aspiration and every goal that you set, you gain it all. And it is possible to gain a lot in this world. You work hard enough and you strive hard enough and you put your goals first, chances are you'll reach them. But let's say you do. God says, what will it profit if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? And as I look at that verse, I'm made aware that it is possible to lose your own soul. What a tragedy. And tonight, God is asking you to give an answer to that, personally. Because you see, friend, the Bible says, your own soul. And there came a day in my life when I was trying to accomplish my goals, and I was doing all right. And I was trying to satisfy my ambitions, and I was coming along all right. But there came a day when I said, it's not worth losing my soul. People tried to tell me, oh, you're doing okay, you're a Christian. But as I had to face the Almighty God personally, I said, I need to be saved. And friend, that brought a turn in the road. That brought a different perspective. I began to listen to God as I had never listened before. Because the issue of my soul suddenly became the greatest factor in my life. And if there's a young person here tonight, and you're to understand the value of your soul, and you were to understand even just in a small measure the length of eternity, you would call a halt and you'd say, I must get to Christ, I must get my soul saved. Because Jesus said, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world? And in the end, lose your own soul. We have read in Matthew chapter 27 another unanswered question. We go to Calvary for this, and we go to the darkness. From that supernatural darkness, we hear a horrible cry. My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me? As people waited for an answer, it never came. And as the sin bearer upon that cross and the agony of his suffering and the weight of the justice that came from heaven, as he looked up, there was no answer. And tonight, friend, God is asking you to provide an answer to that question. Because if you were to discover personally the answer to that question, you'd come into the good of God's salvation. Why hast thou forsaken me, the Savior said? I want to say 23 years ago, I found the answer personally was for me. It was all for me. He actually died for me. And instead of me being forsaken forever, the substitute, the Savior, willingly stood in my place. And he took my judgment. He bore God's wrath. He suffered the just for me, the unjust, that he might bring me to God. And tonight, I trust you'll come to the end, understanding and appreciation of that awful question and cry of Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, we're living in a world in which people think that God has forgotten us, or God's not interested, or God's not talking anymore. They're wrong. You see, friend, the God that has made us is the God that has always been interested in man. When Adam and Eve, as we've been hearing in Genesis 3, turned their back on God, God didn't give it up as a bad job. God never turned his back on this world. God never washed his hand of the whole thing and said, well, you've made your choice, go ahead. God has been speaking to us. God has been calling us. God has been inviting us. The Savior has been pleading with this world. And even tonight, his arms are outstretched, and he says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And the God who has made us is the God who is speaking to us. Do you know something? I've often thought that, you know, it would have been possible for the God of heaven to have planned salvation. And when the moment came as it did, he could have sent the Son. And the Lord Jesus could have come, and he could have gone to the cross, and he could have accomplished the work, and he could have been raised from the dead as he was, He could have gone back to heaven.
And it could have been possible that God would never have told us about what we haven't.
What a prospect, isn't it?
That salvation could have actually been provided, and we could still have been left in the dark. But the God who provided salvation has also given us the good news about it. He's given us this report. He's given us this letter.
He's given us His Word that describes who we are and describes our need and yet unfolds to us the wonder of His grace in providing a Savior.
And at the end of it all, He makes us aware that He's interested in every single individual, and He gives us this wonderful invitation. You know, I've often marveled that almost the last word of this book is not a warning, but it's an invitation. Spirit of the bride, they say, come. The Son of God says, come.
God doesn't close this book,
though giving us another invitation. But the problem tonight is that you haven't believed this report.
Funny thing, isn't it? We have no trouble. We have absolutely no trouble believing a lot of the reports that we hear in this world. I picked up the newspaper today in the morning. I noticed all kinds of sales. None of them really interested me, but I had picked up the paper from time to time and looked at something I wanted to get. It was on the other side of St. John's. But I said, I'm going to go because I want to get that. Good price, you know, good deal. And so I have gotten in my car at the right day, at the right time, and I have gone across a half hour across the city, and I have walked into a store on the basis of a few black and white dots and a piece of cheap newsprint. That's all. A little bit of ink and a little bit of paper caused me to move across the city in response to an advertised sale. And I believe the report. Or I have gotten up in the morning and turned on the news, the weather, and perhaps planned some kind of outside activity or outside work or going out in the water, and all of a sudden I hear the voice of a man that I have never seen telling me about an event, about weather coming that I can't even see. And of course, in Newfoundland, East Coast, you watch the wind, you watch the weather, you watch the systems moving in. And there have been times when I have responded to the voice of a man that I can't see telling me about a weather system that is not even here yet. And I have changed my plans. I believe the report. Or I, from time to time, get a letter in the mail. Great day when letters come. And sometimes it says, now, I'm coming in at the airport at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Would you meet me? You know what I do? I go to the airport at 2 o'clock on the basis of a little bit of ink on a parchment. Makes me change my schedule and head for the airport to pick up a loved one. And I don't have any difficulty with that. I just simply take at face value what I read there. You do too, don't you? I want to ask you then, why is it so hard for you to believe what God says? We believe men. We believe people that we don't even see. We believe people that we haven't even met. Yet when it comes to God's Word, Isaiah has to say, who has believed our report? Should not say tonight you haven't believed the report. Oh, I know you know verses. And I know if I were to ask you, how do you get saved? You'd be able to say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you know all these verses.
but you haven't believed the report.
You've never responded to what God says. And yet God in His grace, and in His kindness, and in His concern, has actually given us a letter. And tonight the big issue, the big question in this meeting is, what would it take to convince you that God is telling truth?
Because salvation comes, friends, when you are willing to say yes to God's word.
Mr. McAway the other night quoted that verse, John 5:24, "He that hears my words," there it is, the report, "He that hears my words, believes him that sent me, has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life."
If you're still in your sins, you never believed it. I wonder, what would it take to convince you that God is telling the truth?
Do you know what I notice about God's word?
God's word is the highest authority in this world.
This book, the words, the truths, even the periods in this book are God's breathed. It's unlike any other book. Never out of date. Absolutely reliable. Highest authority.
In fact, it's heaven's witness in this world that says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away.
And as I think of this meeting, I think that in this present building are the only two things tonight in this world that are eternal.
Fairview Gospel Hall is only temporary. One of these days it will be all smashed to pieces.
Skyscrapers down here, only temporary. They're all going to be razed, all brought down. The Rocky Mountains to the west, only temporary. God's going to level them. The heavens overhead, God's going to roll them up as a woman rolls up her wash in the line. Only temporary. But tonight in this room are the only two eternal things in this world. Number one, God's word.
And number two, you and me. We're going to exist forever. And when everything else is gone from this temporary scene of this world, God's word will stand. And friend, you'll stand somewhere. Heaven above, or in the flames of hell beneath.
That's why, friend, the word of God, this report, is heaven's witness. It's the ultimate authority. In fact, Abraham in Luke chapter 16 spoke to that man. He said, "Listen, if they won't believe this book, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even though they got greater evidence, so-called." Friend, if you won't believe this book, if you won't believe this record, there's no heaven for you. God is not going to give you, extra evidence. He says all that he needs to say in this book, this record. And that's why the big issue is, who has believed this report? Do you know what I appreciate about the Bible? I appreciate, number one, that it's personal. Hebrews 1 tells us God, who at various times in different ways spake to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Tell me, have you ever heard God speak to you? This message, friend, is personal. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to this world. But out of the vast reaches of this world and the masses that habitate this world. God singles out the whosoever. He singles out the individual. And tonight, this word is absolutely personal. I'm so glad that God spoke to us personally, as individuals. There was a piece of machinery that was put together in the United States, and it was shipped overseas. If I remember the story correctly, it was over to Africa. And it was put into place. They started production, and all of a sudden, the machine broke down. And so the company called back to the firm in the States that made it, and they said, no, machine, could you send over a mechanic? And so they sent over a mechanic. And when he got off the plane, the dignitaries that were there, or the company officials that were there to receive and take this mechanic to the job, they looked at him and they turned away in disgust. And right from there, because he was a young man, they went right to the phone and they called up and they said, listen, we want a mechanic. We want somebody that can fix this machine. We don't want this young man. What does he know? And the voice on the other end of the line said, listen, sir. He said, the young man that you picked up at the airport is the young man that's invented the machine. If he can't fix it, nobody else can. And look, friend, tonight, it's not just two preachers talking to you. It's not even your parents that are talking to you tonight. God's speaking to you. My friend, if you won't listen to him, if you say no to God's word and God's voice, you'll have to reap the results of that choice. This is a personal word. But there's something else about this word that I appreciate. I think tonight of the fact that it's a heavenly word. It comes from above. You know what the problem of this world is? We're trying to solve our own problems horizontally. We're trying to figure out our own issues. We can't do it. Ever been lost in the woods? After a while, one road looks as good as the other, you know? And you're looking around and you're trying to find some kind of thing to lay hold on, but you don't know which is the right way to go. Because you see, all you can see is just horizontally. But I want to say, friend, in that kind of a situation, what you need is somebody overhead that can direct you the right way. Thank God there has been a voice, a message, a record that has been sent from heaven. And heaven itself has directed the right way. God's word says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But the one who came from heaven said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And this book, this message, this letter, this record is God's heavenly view of things. And friends, you'll not go wrong if you listen to what God says. Oh, but there's something else about this record. It's absolutely truthful. In this world of ours, we hear all kinds of messages. A lot of them are just lies. We see all kinds of advertising. And they're cleverly done, but they're deceptive. But as we open up God's Word, we find God speaks truth. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And as Satan comes alongside, he whispers in your ear as you sit in a gospel meeting, now look, my son, don't get too concerned. You've got lots of time. The kisses of an enemy. Your friends come along in the high school or college and they'll say, oh, you're getting religious, are you? Ah, boy, don't sweat that kind of stuff. This is the
as you sit in a gospel meeting and God's voice is heard, it cuts. It penetrates. It exposes. Makes me feel guilty! Because I am guilty. But you see, friend, God deals with us as a true friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I want to say, if I go to a doctor with a problem, I want him to be bluntly honest. I have no time for a doctor that will say, now, Marv, don't worry about it. You know, everything's be all right when everything won't be all right. I will know the truth. And what you need tonight is to face the truth, and this book, this record, will give you the truth. You know what I like about this book, what I appreciate? It's absolutely dependable. You know why? Because God can't lie. God won't lie. He can't lie. He always tells the truth. And that's why the question I want to leave with you tonight as we close this meeting is, who hath in this meeting believed this report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I struggled with it. I fought against it. But there came a day when I just simply said, God is telling me the truth. And I'm willing to bow. And when that took place in repentance, I discovered why Christ died for ungodly people, ungodly sinners. Well, that's me because God says so. That's my friend, what you do with this book, what you do with this report, will be the difference between heaven and hell. Shall we pray? Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word. We're thankful that it's living, it's powerful, and so we leave it in thy hand tonight. We pray that thou'll keep it from the enemy. He's going to come in now and he's going to try and snatch it away. Young people are going to go home and perhaps there are things that they'll do, homework or whatever, and they'll forget about what's said here tonight. But we pray that the Spirit of God in a very personal way will follow the Word, will garrison it, will use it, will direct it, will bring conviction. We pray, Lord, in this meeting that there might be those that would have heard the voice of God even as Adam heard it, and that they might get located, and they might understand that they need a Savior, and they might turn to the Lord Jesus tonight. Bless the gospel of Langley tonight, and across this land, we thank thee, Father, for another day of grace, for thy kindness to us, in giving us another opportunity to hear the gospel. And our Father, we don't want to presume on another night. And so we would pray that even this night, souls will pass through the darkness into the light of thy salvation. We thank you for each one that has come tonight and commend the word to thee in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now we're going to sing hymn number 89, and we want to thank all those who have come. We remind you the meeting is continuing this week. Each night at 7:30 in the will of the Lord. We might just say that any that are able to stay, we're going to have a very brief prayer meeting in the basement. Brethren, we're not going to have a long prayer meeting. Keep it very short and very specific. If you can't stay, that's all right. Pray as you go home. But if you can stay just for a few minutes, we're going to have a very brief prayer meeting. And any that are able to make it here before the prayer meeting, each night, a half hour before, we're happy to see our brethren coming to pray, and sisters, you pray as well, during the day, that God's voice will be heard. The tremendous need in this city, and there's not much time left. So we pray that God will speak and move for his own glory. Just the first verse, notice it's another question, and it's a question that you have to answer. Oh, what will you do with Jesus? Just number 89, just the first verse.